All right, good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed evening as we are, as always. We'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is March 28th, 2024, and week 269. If you're new around here, welcome to Join the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. If you've been with us for a while, as we always like to say, welcome back. Thank you guys for tuning in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. We do have one early comment, and it is from David. He says, praise the Lord, my brothers. Hope everyone is having a great day in the Lord, and I know that I am. And I do wish and hope and pray that everyone else is as well. And if not, then I pray that it gets better. So as you can see from the title, it says prioritize the word. We have another one. Sister Vanilla says, praise the Lord, saints. So praise the Lord to you, too. And thank you, too, for being among the early comments. So now, as you can see from the title, it says prioritize the word. And we have another one from Susie. Welcome, Minister and Melvin. So praise the Lord. Thank you again. Thank you, too, for being a part of the early comments. So now, make sure another one doesn't come in. Without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. We can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it and apply it to our daily lives.
Thank you, Melvin. Praise the Lord to all of you who have tuned in with us. At this time, we are going to go into a word of prayer. So if you would join in, we would appreciate that. Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost for what you did up until this point in our lives. Lord, we thank you for how you continue to watch over us. You continue to bless us, Lord. You've continued to give us things that we don't deserve, Lord. Help us to always remain in a place of thankfulness, in a place of being gracious and grateful for what you have did for us, Lord. No matter what happens to us in this life, Lord, no matter what things we don't have, no matter the things that we look at in our lives and they're not going the way that we desire them to go, Lord, help us to always remember that there is still a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, Lord. Help us to be happy, Lord. Help us to be joyous, Lord. The scripture tells us to rejoice. And so, Lord, even as we might have lost our joy, we might have lost that feeling of gratitude, Lord, help us to find it again, Lord. Help the word to continually be in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we're praying for the Bible study tonight that your word would go forth, that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. Lord, we're praying that we would hear from you tonight, that we would hear from you every day of our lives, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless again. God bless each of you for tuning in with us. We always appreciate your presence. You are wanted here. You are important here. Because you are important to God. And so we try to the best of our ability, we try to think and operate as our Lord would have us. And so God, he certainly appreciates you and he certainly adores us. He has created this world for us. Now we cannot get it twisted and think we are more than what we really are, which the Bible tells us we are less than nothing. But at the same time, the Bible also tells us we are more than conquerors. And so there has to be a balance of understanding we do have value and we do have worth. But at the same time, we cannot become high-minded and think that we are, above someone else, that we are so great and so mighty. We're not. But we do have access to God, and he makes the difference. He is the great one. And so I thank God for his love, his compassion, his mercy towards each and every one of us. And so we're going to get into some things tonight. Again, God bless each of you for being here, just because I understand there's so many places we could be. There's so many things we could be doing. But what better thing is there to do than to study the word of God and to learn who God is? Because this is truly how we get ahead in life. This is truly how we make it to the next level. in life is by studying God's word. I know there are a lot of things that people feel are important. People feel we should learn about politics. If that's what you desire to do, do it. People feel we should get educated and go to school. Do it. Those are some good things. However, the most important thing for us to do is to study the word of God, to prioritize the word of God. And so once we do that, everything else will fall into its rightful position in life. So we're going to call your attention tonight or this afternoon, whatever the case may be, wherever you may find yourself, whatever time it might be that you find yourself listening to this, we're going to call your attention to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And instead of getting that focus verse, Melvin, I actually want to go up to verse 1 and we'll work our way down. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up at verse 1. Before you read that, you know, I wanted to discuss this because the truth is, and that's what this program is about, it's about spreading the truth. And a lot of people declare that they are speaking the truth, but there is no proof. There are no facts behind what is being said. But the truth is, we prioritize many things in life. To each person, there are a different level of, there are different things that are important to that particular person. To some people love to watch certain TV shows. Some people don't watch TV at all. Some people love sports. Some people don't watch sports at all. Some people love design. Some people don't care about design at all. Some people don't care about decor and things of that nature. So everyone has some different priorities. Some people desire to have children. Some don't. Some women, they desire to have girls. Some they might want boys. It just depends. Everyone has a different priority, if you will. And I wanted to deal with this tonight because those things that I mentioned there, they're fine. They're okay. But there are certain things that we should prioritize, all of us, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you want to have a boy or a girl, whether you don't want to have children at all, whether you want to work at Walmart, whether you don't, whether you want to work at Apple, whether you don't. See, all of those things are okay, but certain things we should all prioritize. And you know, I've been driving before, Melvin. There have been times where I've been driving. And when you're driving, the most important thing for you to do is to be actively paying attention and engaged into driving. That should be our number one priority when we get behind the wheel. Our focus should be the road, watching the road, watching where I'm going, watching for other cars, watching for animals that might run into the road or people who might come into the road. That should be our number one priority. But you know what happens, Melvin? There have been times in my life where the phone will ding. I'll get a message or some type of alert. And the first thing I do, it's like an instinct. I'll instantly forget everything that's going on as far as the road is concerned. I'll take my eyes off of it and I will place my eyes to look for that phone. See, my priorities in a split second, my priorities have become twisted up. My priorities have gotten off track in a split second. The Bible talks about in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. So quickly, my priorities have shifted from something that they should have been on to something that they should not have been on. Now, this has happened to me. I mean, the phone will alert me, and instantly I'll drop my eyes. I'll start reaching around. I'll start trying to figure out, where is my phone? Who is this sending me something? Who is calling me? What's happening on my phone? And before you know it, your life is in jeopardy. See, it's so important for us to prioritize the right things at the right times, or else our lives can be ended. There are people's lives who have been lost. Now, this is a sad thing. There are lives that have been either lost or changed forever, all because someone's priorities changed when they should not have changed. That is, in such a short and small amount of time, for our priorities to shift, for us to get sidetracked. And you know, when we begin to deal with the Word of God, our priorities have to remain on Him. If something happens, if we get sidetracked, if we turn our eyes to the right or to the left, that could very well be all it takes. All it takes for us to be lost. See, it doesn't take long when you're driving down the road. It doesn't take long for you to lose track of what's going on in the road before you have an accident. Our salvation is this way. We've got to be paying attention at all times, because the devil can step in and he'll change our lives forever. He'll send us down the wrong path, and it's hard to come out of it. So, Melvin, I want to pick up verse 1 here, because we're going to deal, as I said, we're dealing with prioritizing the Word of God. We're dealing with your priorities today. See, I just want you to think about, what do you prioritize? What things do you prioritize in your life? Someone says, I have to prioritize my job. I have to prioritize my family. We have to spend some quality time. I have to prioritize this. I have to prioritize that. See, I have to take, some people say, I have to take me a vacation. See, some prioritize every so often, I've got to take me a trip somewhere. See, we all have some certain priorities. Where does the Word of God fall within those priorities? Where does it fall? Let's pick it up, Melvin. Verse 1 here, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see what it says.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus.
Now, we're reading Paul writing a letter to Timothy. Paul calls Timothy his son. This is how he's addressing him. He said, look, you need to be strong. Keep reading for us, Melvin.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Paul tells Timothy, I want you to pass this message down. We've been dealing with the gospel. I've preached about it. I've been talking about it in Bible studies. He said, pass this down to faithful men who are going to go out and teach others. This gospel is passed, the Bible said, from faith to faith. This message has to be passed down from generation to generation. See, God, he's not just popping up in people's minds and revealing all of these things. No, it's being passed down. And through that, God gives revelation. This has to be passed down. Just like hand-me-downs, it has to be passed down. So Paul said, I've taught you this, my son Timothy, in the gospel, in the faith. I want you to pass this same gospel down. See, there are people that have changed the gospel. That's not my message tonight, but Paul is telling him to pass this message down. Let's see what he said, Mel.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
See, now he's talking military talk. See, I love the way that God had the scriptures written. See, God didn't sit down and write these scriptures, but he had faithful men who were able to write these things down, and they made sure to pass it down from generation to generation without it getting twisted up. So, in so many cases, in so many instances, God had things written so that certain groups would understand. See, there are certain things that I just personally understand. See, Melvin, I want to tell you all of Melvin's business now, but Melvin's good with math. He's good with numbers. And so he might understand and grasp something really quickly as it pertains to numbers and math. And so certain parables might appeal to him more than to me. Certain situations you can present to him when you deal with numbers, he'll understand it. I think about a parable where Jesus, he was talking about a woman and how she lost a pearl and how she searched all over. See, he understood women. See, women love jewelry. See, there are certain things written to help certain types of people understand these scriptures. So now we have him talking to the ones in the military, to the ones who are soldiers, to the ones who can better understand this. So he tells Timothy, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. But he's not really dealing with a soldier in the United States military. He said, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, we're all soldiers in the army. They sing a song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. He said, endure hardness. See, there's going to be some tough times. Don't let anyone fool you. But when those times come, where are your priorities? Let's keep reading here, Melvin.
No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier.
He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. What he's telling us is, a good soldier in Christ's army, they've got their priorities straight. They don't get caught up in every little thing that they should not be caught up in. That's what he's trying to tell us. You know, when people are in the military, see, soldiers have a very different life. If I can put it that way, they have a very different life. I've seen people who have went to basic training, to AIT, to all of these different things where they have to learn how to be a soldier. And there are certain rules, regulations, and guidelines that they have to follow. There are strict guidelines. They have to have their hair a certain way. They have to wear a certain uniform. They have to eat a certain way. They have to eat at a certain time. They have to eat at a certain speed. They have to be here at a certain time. They've got to walk in a certain way. See, there's a strict life when it comes to being a soldier. And in order to be a good soldier, priorities have to be straight. There are plenty of people, and I've never been to the military. I've never been a part of it. I don't have any of those accolades, but I have learned a little bit now about being in the military. And there are plenty of people who decide, I want to join. But once they get to training, Melvin, see, they prioritize something different. They said, this just isn't for me. I want to go home. I miss my freedom. I miss doing this. I miss doing that. Their priorities change. See, this, when we get in the Word of God, when we get in Christ's army, we have to maintain our priorities. We've got to stay focused on what God called us to do. See, it's easy to get out here and God told me to do a certain thing. It's easy to get out here and look around at other people. Happens all the time. We look around at other people and we say, so-and-so isn't doing right. Why should I? Your priorities have to be straight if you want to be a good soldier in this army. Your priorities have to be straight. You've got to remain focused on the job at hand. Melvin, let's run over. Run over to Joshua chapter 1. See, Paul began to tell us about being a soldier in this great army. Look, this is the best army on the face of the earth. The army of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe every country, all of the patrons, all of the people in the Russian military, the people in the Ukrainian military, the people in the Chinese military, the people in the German military, the people in the United States military, all of those people are so proud to wear the uniform, to wear the badge, to be called a member of that particular country's army. But how many of us feel this way about being in Christ's army? How many of us feel that way? See, where are our priorities? I'm not trying to get on the military, but I'm making this point. Where are our priorities? Are we proud of this? Are we proud of being called a child of God? Are we proud to say that? A lot of things that God wants us to do. See, we don't want to wear his uniform, Evan. We don't want to wear the Lord's uniform. We don't want to dress in modesty as holiness. We don't want to talk the way. We don't want to walk the way. But if we were in the United States military, look, we'd be proud. We'd be proud to say we're in the National Guard, to say we are in the Navy, to say we are in the Air Force. We'd be proud to say, I'm a Marine. But who's proud? See, where are your priorities as it pertains to God? Those are good things now. I thank God for the military because I'm not able to join that military. I'm only fit to join God's army. I'm not fit to join the United States, so I hope they don't draft me, Melvin. But are you proud? Where are your priorities as it pertains to God's business? See, one day, no other army is going to be on the face of the earth. It's only going to be God's army. Will you be a part of his? Or will you be a part of Satan's? So pick us up in Joshua 1, Melvin. Joshua 1, let's read verse 8 here.
Alrighty, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
You know, this is why I love when you get your priorities straight. When you put things in their proper place, he said, you can have good success. He's promising us that. He said, you can be prosperous. you can prosper. Look, this is not a prosperity gospel, but God knows you will prosper. It truly is a prosperity gospel. But when we think of that, we think of people taking money saying you'll be blessed because of it. It's not that. But if you would line up with what God says and keep him first, you know, there are many people that say God first, and they don't mean that one bit. There's a lot of people that are walking around talking about God first. I put God first in my life. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? How can you say God is first and you won't do anything he said? That's like me going to my job and say, yes, I put my job first, but everything the boss tells me to do, I ignore him. I show up when I want to show up. He tells me to go left, I go right. And I say, yeah, I put him first. That's what we're doing. We're saying God is first, but he's really last. He's not first in our life. God tells Joshua here, he said, if you would meditate, if you would prioritize the word, that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. Just put the word of God first in your life. Every day, day and night, you will prosper. There's no way you can't prosper. There's no way. As long as you do this, you are guaranteed. I'm more confident in this than I am in anything else in this world, because I know it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my power or lack thereof. This is God's power. So if we would prioritize this, he said, you can be successful. God is going to make sure of it. You will succeed. There's no way around it. So he said, don't turn to the right or to the left. Have we read that?
I believe so.
That was in verse 7. Go back up to verse 7 for us, Mel.
Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest.
You know, I believe we all want to prosper. That's why people love the prosperity gospel that a lot of preachers preach. Because deep down, we want to prosper. Anyone in their right mind, I know I do. And that's why I've decided to prioritize the word of God. What God tells me to do, that's what has to be number one. The problem comes in because we love a lot of things. We love God now. There's sure we have a certain measure of love for God, but there are other things that we love even more. That's where the problem comes in. I remember I had someone talking to me some time ago, and we had conversations in the past, and they told me they wanted to get a tattoo of a scripture on their body. And I began to plead with the person and tell them, God doesn't want you to do that, though. I understand it is a scripture. Put the scripture in your heart. Don't put it on your skin. That's not what he wants you to do. And after all of that conversation, they prioritized what they wanted to prioritize. They said, I'm still going to get it. You can get what you want. I'm not going to arrest you. I told you guys before, I'm not the gospel police. I'm not fit to be a police officer. Look, I can't join the police. I can't join the military. I'm not fit. But I have decided to join God's army. And I have to prioritize the word of God. So will you put aside what you desire for what God says? Will you put aside what your mother desires, what your father desires, what your sister, what your children desire, and even you yourself. Will you put aside all of that for what God says? This is the priorities that we're dealing with. See, God told us to love one another. But there are some people that we say we just can't love. See, that's not prioritizing God. You can't walk around saying I'm putting God first. And he told you to love that person who mistreated you, but you say there's no way I'll ever do it. He told us to forgive them. He knows they did you wrong. See, God, he knows this. And he is upset even more so than you are. He's wanting them to get right and repent. That's what God wants from them. Sometimes people repent and we still don't forgive them. Sometimes people actually try to change and we won't even give them the opportunity to do that. We say, no, I'll never forgive what they did to me. See, that's not prioritizing God. So how can we say we're putting God first? We're not. He said we have to love him and his word more than anything else. We better read that, Melvin. We better read that. So we'll leave here. That's in the book of Matthew chapter 10. We have to love what God says more than anything else. Matthew chapter 10. Let's pick up 37.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
Now, we look at this and we say, well, I don't love them more than God. We say, I don't love them more than God. See, most people, especially people that are believers in Christ and believers in God, most people are going to say, I put God first. I don't love my family more than God. I don't love my children more than I love God. See, I put God first. You're not going to have, look, I'd be very surprised to see people at the church say, I put my family first and then God. I'd be very surprised to hear people say that. Most of us are going to say we put God first until it's time to practice that. See, that's where our actions are going to say otherwise. Read that again for us, Melvin.
He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
If we love him, Jesus said, keep his commandments. See, we show who we love when we're obedient to them over God. We show who we love. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. But here again, I'll say, we say, I don't love my parents more than God. That's foolish. That's crazy talk. What happens when your parents tell you to do something God told you to not do? What happens when your parents are breaking the commandments of God and you encourage it? You pretend as if they're not doing it all because you love them. See, we have already gotten our priorities mixed up. We're saying we love God more, but in works. Paul said we deny him. In works. Where are you prioritizing the word of God? What are we prioritizing today? You know, we come on here every week for one solid hour, just about 1 hour. Can you prioritize 1 hour a week? That's not that much. They tell me there are 24 hours in a day. I don't even know how many hours there are in 1 week, Melvin. I have no idea. I can't do that math right now. You probably can. But I cannot do that math. But 1 hour a week, we can't even prioritize that. We can't even turn off the TV for the 1 hour. We can't put down the messages for the one hour. See, we're showing God what we prioritize every day. Somebody right now, if we get a phone call, we say, "All right, well, I got to take this." And when we answer the phone and find out they don't want anything, we still talk. We still are going to talk and say, "Man, I can't believe they did this." You're not going to say, "Look, I've got to call you back. I'm in the middle of the Word of God. I've got to prioritize this right now." We're not going to say that, Melvin. We won't say that. See, where are your priorities when it comes to being about God's business? You know, Jesus, the Bible said when he was 12 years old, Jesus was in the temple talking and asking questions to the lawyers, asking them about scriptures, asking them about God, having conversations about this. We don't even talk about God. And yet we say we prioritize him. I can't tell you how much I have worked at jobs and the people don't discuss God whatsoever. And yet we're going to deceive ourselves and say, "Look, I put God first." Lord help us. No, you put sports first, because that's what we talked about at work. We talked about sports. You put politics first, because that's what we talked about. We talked about the election that's coming up. We talked about the student loan forgiveness that we're hoping for. We talked about a whole lot of stuff. We talked about the TV show that came on, the new episode this week. We talked about a lot of that. But when it came time to talk about God, somebody said, "I've got to go." Somebody said, "This is not church." See, I don't get into talking about that. See, I don't want to offend people. We come up with a whole lot of stuff, Melvin. When God gets involved, we say, I don't want to offend anyone. But you talk all of your other beliefs, you talk about that freely. And you don't mind who you offend those times. But when it comes to God, nobody prioritizes him. See, this is the problem that we're facing today. This is why Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, look, is he going to find someone that prioritizes him? Someone that truly puts him first, not someone that walks around with a necklace on and a cross, not someone that walks with a necklace and says God first on the necklace. That doesn't mean anything. Not the person that tattoos a scripture on their body and they can't tell you where it even is found in the scripture. They just got it on their body. They never even opened the book to read it. They just heard it somewhere and they said, "Wow, that sounds nice." Or they went to the tattoo parlor and they said, "What do you want? Just give me something." See, this is what's going on. And yet we're saying we're putting God first. Someone is deceived. The Bible said the God of this world hath blinded the eyes. Look, this devil's powerful. He has blinded our eyes. So Jesus, he said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy." He said, if we love him, keep his commandments. You know, when a child loves their parent, and their parent has did a lot for them, their parent has suffered and struggled to help their child, you know, one thing that a person holds as law is what their parents taught. It can be the most damnable thing there is. It can be the most wrong thing there is. But because my parents said so, and they took care of me, it has to be fact. And we will hold those words to our grave. Sometimes, look, we love people who have taken care of us. Sometimes they were wrong, though. Maybe not all the time. But because of the love we had for them, we wouldn't even accept when they're wrong. See, we can't be this way. We must be willing to declare that God is right and somebody else is wrong. No matter who, even if it's me, even if it's ourselves, we must be willing to admit, "I'm wrong here. God is right. The Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Keep reading for us, Melvin.
And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
Somebody say, I'll do anything for my child. I will do anything for my parent. I'll do anything for my family. When have we ever made that declaration for God? You know, Melvin, I can't tell you I've heard people say that. Now, I've heard many people say, I'll die for mine. See, I've heard people say that. They say, I'll die about mine. And they begin to talk about their family member. They'll go to war. See, they're in a different army. They'll go to war for theirs. They will battle for their own. He said the world loves their own. But when it comes to prioritizing God, I hadn't heard people say this. Now, I'm sure there's somebody out there that feels this way, but I haven't seen people say, I'm willing to die for the name of the Lord. I'm willing to lose my life, not only just physically, but spiritually. I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my desires, my will, my wants for what God wants. See, we'll do that for our kids. A good parent, they're going to sacrifice what they want for their child. Now, that's what a good parent will do now. A good parent is going to sacrifice their own wants for their child. Now, we're not talking about a parent that doesn't actually love their child, that doesn't want to take care of their child. A good parent sacrifices.
We have a question.
Yes, sir.
Kiara asks, now that you mentioned how we received wrong things from parents and we hold it as law, can you explain this scripture, please? And it's 1 Peter 1 and 18.
Mm-hmm. Let's pull that scripture up. 1 Peter 1 and 18?
Yes.
All right.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Now, we would have to go up in here. Let's go up. Let's go up. Because he's dealing with some traditions that the world had. See, there, you know, we really don't even have to go up. There are traditions that we follow today that have been passed down. You know, right now, one of the first thing that comes to my mind, there's a tradition in our society. Look, we've got to go to the prom. And when you go to prom, see, this is tradition now. When you go to the prom, when you send your child to the prom, look, they've got to make a guest entrance, a celebrity entrance. They have to roll out the red carpet. You've got to spend X amount of dollars on a dress. They've got to make sure their hair is done. They're looking good. The guys have got to have their shades. They've got to rent a car that they can't afford. Look, we've got to do a lot of stuff because of tradition. And you know what? Because of these traditions, we will allow our children to sin. See, our children, they go to the prom. They spend a night somewhere. With a young lady, she can go to the prom and spend the night at the hotel with a boy. See, we're allowing sin to take place because of our traditions. We're allowing a lot of things to happen because we're upholding tradition. And it's been passed down from our parents, our grandparents, great-grandparents. Now we have another tradition. In the United States, in our country, when you become 21, this is when you can legally, according to the U.S. laws, you can legally get drunk. But according to God's law, he said the drunkards, they're going to end up in the lake of fire. That's what the book declares now. In the book of Revelation and various other places. So we have allowed traditions to cause us to be disobedient to what God says. We talked about it in Monday night's Bible study. We talked about dress for men and women, the wearing of pants, the wearing of men wearing women clothing and women wearing men clothing. We've dealt with these things. These are traditions. And you know what? They're being passed down. There are parents. They say, you know what? My baby decide they need to have a choice of what gender they want to be. God already decided. What do you mean? You can look and see. God intentionally has the baby born naked. It's already shown for you. You already can see. Look, read them and weep.
Before they even born.
Before that too, because yeah, you can look at the ultrasound. But especially, look, if you say, I don't trust the ultrasound, you can open your eyes when the baby's born. You already know. But the traditions that we have now began to follow, they cause us to disobey God. And that's where the problem is coming in. The traditions. Jesus talked to, I believe it was the Pharisees, about that. Being obedient to traditions, you've made the word of God of none effect. You don't even respect what God says because you prioritize traditions. See, there is so many traditions today that we prioritize. We don't feel right unless we do it. We feel it's wrong. We were wronged if we don't take part of these traditions. When you have a birthday, it is tradition now. You've got to have a big party. See, people are going to ask you, what did you do? See, I remember getting that question all the time. If it's your birthday, what they're going to ask you is, after the fact, look, what did you do? See, it's not a birthday if you didn't do anything. Look, I remember going through school, and when there's spring break, the first question they ask you when you get back, and even before you leave, but when you get back, I'll deal with when you get back. They say, what did you do for spring break? See, they want to hear you say, I went to the Bahamas. Because now it's going to become a competition. Who did the coolest thing? Who had the most fun? See, these things are nothing but tradition. And if you didn't go anywhere, you know what they say, Melvin? They say, oh, you lame. You mean to tell me you had a whole week off for spring break and you didn't go anywhere? Oh, yeah, you're lying. You're lying. See, these are traditions. And now we have caused those traditions to take over our minds to the point that we don't love one another now. We will belittle one another because you want them to go and spend all of their money on a week trip. And they might not have the money. You pay for their trip then, since you want them to go somewhere. So this is what we're dealing with, traditions. And some traditions are okay. Look, it's not a sin to take a trip. But we have allowed traditions to consume our lives. And we're not prioritizing the word of God. Suppose someone said they went on spring break. And you asked them, and you went on spring break, and when you got back, they said, what did you do? And you say, I studied the word of God. They look at you crazy. They say, you mean the whole week? I mean, surely, okay, I understand you did it one time. What did you do the other days? You say, I just meditated on the word of God all week long. Look, you don't have to do that all week. You need to have some fun. See, they're going to associate there's no fun in studying the word of God. That's boring. See, this is what our traditions have caused. Traditions. So this is the problem that's taking place in our society. we get so caught up on tradition. We say every birthday I have to do X, Y, Z. And if you don't do it, somebody say you 38 hot. We're upset because our tradition has been broken. But who feels this way when it comes to the word of God? We're okay with breaking the word of God. We've got no problem. But we say it's God first. It's a lie out of hell. We say I'm serving God first. No, you're serving your traditions first. Because the moment you can't keep those traditions that you have set, that your family has set, you then become so upset with the world. You said, they know I'm supposed to do this at this particular time. Every year I do this, and I can't do it this year. We're depressed. We're heartbroken. But when we break the word of God, when we lie to someone, we're not broken at all. When we steal, we're not broken. When we fornicate, we're not broken. When we encourage sin, being partakers of another man's sin, we're not broken. There's a problem. We're not prioritizing.
We have another question.
Yes, sir. Sorry, go ahead
Mike asks, how do you lead a loved one who has deprioritized or backslidden in their salvation when they just don't see it as a priority any longer?
Read that one more time.
How do you lead a loved one who has deprioritized or backslidden in their salvation when they just don't see it as a priority any longer?
You have to continue following God. You got to let your light so shine so that those around you can see. Now, the Bible tells us a wise man winneth souls. Paul even dedicated, I think it was Corinthians 7, either 7 or 11. I thought about going there, but I may not go there. But you have to live a life of holiness, a life that shows you're serious about it. See, one thing I've seen, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Mike, but one thing I've seen is sometimes people aren't living a sold out life to God. You know, I'll use this example. Many times when we were younger, we saw a person smoking cigarettes, and that person would tell you, look, don't you do this. They said, man, this is bad for you. This is not good. And you're wondering, well, why are you doing it? It seemed like it must be good. I'm thinking about trying it. It has to be good because you seem to enjoy it. I'm seeing you do it all the time. So likewise, when it comes to wanting to help someone come to Christ, we have to live a life and show them this is the life to live. This is the best life there is. They have to see a benefit in it. But if they see us halfway in, halfway out, they're going to say, there's nothing you can tell me. You're not even serious. You don't even believe this stuff you're talking about. So that's the number one advice I would give. You've got to be living this life and take the opportunities to stand for it. Take the opportunities to talk to them about the word of God. See, people aren't going to be won over into Christ if we never mention it. That's what I was saying earlier. At a job, when we're at our jobs, when we're with our families, we never have a conversation about God. So how can we expect them to want to get saved and we never even mention it? So we've got to start having conversations about God, not forcing the issue now, because sometimes we've got to know when to press the issue and when to fall back. See, there's a lot that goes into this now. It's not a one size fits all. Because sometimes we've got to have those tough conversations. We have to. So the scripture, when Melvin was reading the question, my mind went to the scripture where he told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. See, that's one of the easiest things we can do. If you're going to attend the Bible study tonight, that's one of the first things we can do. We can say, hey, do you want to join a Bible study with me? You want to listen to a Bible study? You know, if we're going to church, hey, do you want to go to church? They might say no. But there are things like those are things that we can do to try to get them engaged, get them thinking about God, inviting them to Bible studies, inviting them to church, inviting them to even read. So I would start with those type of things. Because in doing that, let's say you invite them to Bible study. See, you don't even have to preach to them. You don't have to even tell, like, that's not even you telling them, hey, you need to change. They're coming and hearing that when we're reading the Word of God. The Word of God will work on them. So those are some ways, because sometimes we want to run around and we want to just tell someone, hey, you need to do this and you need to do that. They're not going to receive it. Many of them are not going to receive it. So we have to be, the Bible said, he that is wise winneth souls. So yes, sir, I would start by inviting them to Bible studies, invite them to church, invite them to do things of God. See, as people, we always invite others to do fun activities. We invite people to golf. We invite people to the football game. We invite people to the movies. We invite people to a family gathering. But we don't encourage them to do things pertaining to God. So these are some things that we can begin to incorporate. And if they are willing, God is going to change their lives. But again, I'll say, we've got to be living that life. Nobody wants to see me on here preaching about all these things. And in my everyday life, I'm contradicting what I'm preaching. I'm not living this life. You're not going to take anything I say if I do that. And likewise, our loved ones, our family members, our friends, if you're not living the life, they're going to say, who are you? You sure are one to talk. You sure are one to talk. People who don't even go to church, they know what things a person who is in the Word of God is supposed to be doing. Sometimes they'll tell you. They say, y'all know y'all aren't supposed to be doing that. I thought you guys were saved. See, they already know some of the things. And so it's up to us to let our light shine, to live that life, so that somebody will be won over by our good works. That's what Paul talked about. That's a whole different topic. I don't want to get into it, but Paul dealt with that in the book of Corinthians, I believe the 7th chapter. He talked about how a person who was trying to follow God was married to a person who was not trying to follow God. And he said, if they're pleased, if the person who's not saved, if they're pleased to stay with the person who's trying to be saved, he said, continue on with them so they can be won over by your chaste conversation, by your actions, by your living of holiness, by you living a holy lifestyle. So I hope that helps. We got any other questions, Melvin?
Not yet.
So, yes, sir, I hope that helps. If there is anything else, always feel free to ask any of you who have any questions regarding these things. But the scripture that came to my mind when you were talking, Melvin, was he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some have. See, some people have forsaken this. They've stopped being in Bible study. There's a lot of people that start out, they say, yeah, I'll be there. Every time you have it, There are people that go to church. They say, yeah, we're going to come to church every week. And it lasts 1 week. It's sad. It is sad. We've got to continue on. Somebody's priorities changed. At one point, they might have been serious about it, but somebody's priorities changed. So what will your priorities be? Will you prioritize the word of God even when the loved ones, they don't want to do it? Even when our children don't want to do it? Even when our spouses don't want to do it? When the boss doesn't want to do it? When our coworkers? Will you still prioritize God? Will you stand up for the word of God? When the people around you are clearly breaking God's commandments. See, we've got to be honest about this thing. It's too often I'm seeing God's people. We're not honest with ourselves. We know the people around us, they got no regard for God. We're lying to ourselves, talking about, yeah, they're saved, but they just don't believe in going to church. They just don't believe in reading the Bible. They just don't believe in talking about God. How are they saved then? They don't believe in doing anything God said. But you're trying to persuade me that they're saved? You'll be trying to do the same thing on judgment. You'll be trying to persuade God. God, they were saved. They just didn't. You can save it. It won't work. We might as well be honest. Peter told us in the book of Acts chapter 2, he says, save yourselves. You can't save your family. We can try, we can help them, we can encourage them, but at the end of the day, if they just don't want to, don't lie to yourselves. Don't pretend. I know my children are right. See, that's why Job did what he did. He knew his children were doing some things that were not right. So the man was offering sacrifices, not only for himself, he was offering it for his children. See, God's looking for honest people. That's why Job was a just man. He was honest. He knew his children weren't doing right. So it's time for the people of God. Prioritize the word of God and let's be honest with ourselves. And let's be honest with God because he knows the truth. May God bless you guys. May God continue to strengthen you. May God help us to prioritize his word. At this time, I'll turn it back into the hands of Mel.
Thank you, Minister Banks. We do have a few more comments here. Let's see. Sterozy says, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord to you too. David says, amen, amen. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be all that you called and purposed me to be in Jesus' name. And that's what it's all about. Yeah, a lot of people can want you to be this and that, but it all depends on only thing that matters is what God wants us to be. So amen to that. Kiara quotes Matthew 15 and 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that is so true. Let's see. David says, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And Kiara says, I've had people tell me that 1 to 2 hours of church on Sunday is enough for them a week. There's a lot of people that feel that way. And David said, I need the Lord Jesus every day, all day. Let's see. David says, there are also traditions that churches follow that are not scripture and is sin and will not save you. A lot of them out there. I haven't said it in a while, but it's still true. There's a church on every corner, just about every corner, and they're all saying something different. Yet they're all saying, this is what God told me. So somebody's wrong. And I think I have a good feeling on who it is. Casey says, teach my brother. Larry says, live the life. I'm guessing that was in response to Mike's question about how do we lead someone who's backslidden or have deprioritized in their salvation. And they responded with by living the life, which goes along with what Tony was saying.
Melvin, hold on a second. I caught something there. You mentioned I didn't catch the first time that someone had backslidden. So if a person has fallen back, especially if you've got a relationship with them, especially, I would talk to them about that. Hey, you know, I know you used to be here, but now you're there. You used to want to do certain things as it pertains to God. What changed? See, Paul talked about that in one place. He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? What happened to you? Why is it that now you're not following God the way you used to? What happened? So especially if they backslid, yeah, I say it's time to have a conversation. It's time to go to them in love and talk to them. But now if we aren't living the life we should be living, the first thing they're going to bring up is, who are you to tell me? Look at what you're doing. They said, look, you've backslidden. You come to talk to me. We're both in the same situation. So it's so important for us to be doing right ourselves so that someone around us will be willing to hear what we have to say. So, yes, I didn't catch the fact that they had potentially fallen back because the scripture tells us, look, if we fall back, we're not worthy of him. So we've got to get on track. If God gives us an opportunity to get right with him, we've got to take it. So, yes, I still would encourage them to be in the word, be in Bible studies, be in church. We've got to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Go ahead, Mel.
All right. Then Mike said, your answer tonight was very helpful. Thanks for your continued dedication. You both make it easy to prioritize the JMS hour each week. And then Larry says, that's right. Don't kill your witness. So I'm glad that, you know, the answers given were satisfactory and even more than that, helpful. And like I said at the beginning of the live stream, I hope that we prioritize and find a way to apply these things learned to our lives. And Tony mentioned at the beginning of the Bible study that he can get a ding on his phone and that he could shift his focus to the phone. And I know I've been guilty of this several times. Sometimes I still do. But I'm reminded of I had just gotten married. We had just gotten back to the town, to Oxford, Mississippi. That day we got back, we were waiting at a stop sign and somebody turned onto our street and just ran right into us. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but our car was totaled. And the guy, his explanation was his phone fell. And so as he was turning, he reached down and to pick his phone up off of the floor of his truck. And so his priorities were taken from driving and shifted to his phone. And we see what that caused. Fortunately, again, nobody was hurt, but we were out of a vehicle for a while there. So it just goes to show that can happen. You know, even we may not even notice right now, but down the line, we could be paying for something that we're doing right now because our priority is not where it should be. So I just pray that we learn, and myself included, like that we learn to put God first. Because we say that, but do we actually mean it? We had a Bible study. Lord, help me in the moment. We can say a whole lot of things, but if we were actually in that moment, would we mean it? Would we do it? You know, a lot of people say, oh, if I was back in the days of Noah, I would have gotten on that ark. I definitely would have. But, you know, we're scared of a roach. You know, we're scared of a lion, of a tiger. And rightfully so, those things are fearful. And so you mean to say that we would get on there and be with those animals? So we actually have to mean what we say and prioritize the word of God. And so, and Cynthia says, that's it. So I do appreciate everyone that has tuned in and everyone that has left a comment, and also everyone that will watch or listen to this Bible study later. It means the world to us that people will take time out of their busy schedules to try to tune in and see what thus says the Lord. That's all I have to add. And as my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. David says, how we respond right now will determine our later. That's true. I remember being in college and I saw something somewhere that said that the decisions you're making right now will determine if your kids eat or starve in the future. And I know they were talking about financial decisions, but that goes for anything, any action that we take. So thank you for the comment again. Thank you for to everyone that has tuned in. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with yet another topic coming straight from the Word of God. So until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at JMSBible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.